Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number eight. Item number eight is request for consideration of resort tax ballot removal, and we'll go to Murat. I don't know if he's on.
I'm on. Can you hear me?
There you are.
Can you hear me all right?
I can. Can everybody hear him?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna try to be as concise as I can with this, but balance to give enough detail for people who are unfamiliar with the issues and to prevent questions, simple questions, but also not take too much time. My attachments were in date order, and I'm gonna go through them in the same order. Unfortunately, my cover letter to the manager didn't make it to the agenda, but it was in my email to the council commission members. That kind of gave an idea of the purpose and some of the reasons, but no big deal. At least the council got to read it, I hope. So let me start. I have some notes. I don't have all written out, so I'm gonna just go through the attachments and make comments. The first, by the way, I feel that this is my citizenship duty. I have nothing to gain from it. I don't do it. I'm not doing it for personal gain. I don't know how far I will go with that, but anyway, none of it will be for personal gain. Please try to understand the issues and don't react to me. I'm just the messenger here. Let me scroll down to the first attachment. Okay, so early in 2008, the city asked for an evaluation, and they received a letter saying, okay, we will see if tourism is the primary employer in your area. I think that was in like March, and by May, they received the first report, which is my first attachment. And that report concluded that based on two ways of doing the analysis, place of residence and place of work, they call them, DOC decided that Paulson did not qualify in either way as a resort community. And there was a letter attached, cover letter attached to the report. It's attachment two that says, I regret to inform you, blah, blah, blah. Of course, this letter and the report was unknown to anybody, including me, until I discovered after this next letter, attachment three, which is a protest from the city signed by then Mayor Lou Marcello and now Commissioner. I'm gonna start from the bottom of this letter to kind of grab your attention. It says, please advise what procedure the city must undertake to formally appeal the finding by your department. So this indicates that this letter is not a formal appeal and the city is asking what to do. Since there was no procedure to formally appeal the decision of the DOC, there couldn't have been a formal appeal, and to my knowledge, there wasn't one. So this letter is kind of, you know, my comments there. It's really pretentious legalese, saying that $1 million condos make Paulson a resort area. Apparently, they had not understood what's meant by resort community in the Montana Code. I'm trying to kind of read my notes to see I don't skip anything and come back. Okay, so the city since this was not a formal appeal, I don't know based on what the DOC did a reassessment of Polson, because since then, every time we asked, DOC and their legal team and everybody else said there is no way to reevaluate. So I don't know how was it that Polson was reevaluated and a second report was issued, which is the next attachment. In this kind of insulting letter, the city objects to the facts relied upon and the algorithm used by the Department of Commerce without offering any details as to what is wrong with the facts or what is wrong with the algorithm, which the Department of Commerce calls a methodology, which is probably better fitting for what they have done in that report. But the second report, of course, used different numbers, but used the same algorithm, as they call it. But interestingly, the city did not object to the same algorithm that was used the second time in the second report. And I don't know how to understand that last sentence in the light yellow area saying the legislature never limited the analysis to gift shop restaurants and people are buying $1 million waterfront condos for a reason. I don't know if they mean that $1 million condos should be considered resort tourist revenue and should be taxed. This is an interesting subject we may come back to if anybody's interested. As you know, in most states, there are real estate sales tax. So maybe that would be a good revenue generator in this area. So the attachment 4 is the second letter, a second report. To my knowledge, Polson is the only city with 2 reports. So the balloon icons there, it's a PDF. So if you are viewing your agenda packet in a PDF viewer or in Microsoft Edge or some browser, you can point to those balloons. Thank you. And Ed can do it for us to read. I don't know if it can read it, but anyway, there are comments under those balloons. So I'll just go through them really quick. The first one is right next to current employment, underlined by the person who made the report. That's not my underlining as important. And so that's page 2. Scrolling down to page 3, above the last paragraph, it says neither basis is more valid, talking about the location of work, a place of work and place of residence analysis. My comment there says that the place of residence analysis was conveniently excluded from the second report, because that data comes from the Census Bureau and couldn't be manipulated. And if they use that, of course, the data would show that Olson doesn't qualify again. But they said merely 5 months later after the first report, now that this information from Census 2000 is obsolete. Well, it's the best available data at the time, and it should have been used. And the importance of the place of residence in a widespread community like Polson, where a lot of people live in the, adjoining areas that are not cities or, but, you know, Jetty Lake, Finley Point, Rocky Point, whatever. And those people do actually work in the businesses located in the town, and they buy and consume and eat within the city limits. They just go home to sleep or whatever. So in an area like us in Polson, this really would be the more important one than the place of work. Anyway, so that this is a really big problem that they eliminated one way of analyzing of the two ways that they always do with every report. On page 4, the numbers were adjusted. All those colorful numbers, I did, color indicate them. They are drastically different from the previous report, but there is no explanation as to why those numbers changed from what they were. There is an explanation next to the first balloon there that they did make phone calls and look up websites and stuff, but those are really questionable ways. A lot of people create a internet business and register it, whatever, make a website, but doesn't make a penny out of it. Anyway, so really the numbers, they didn't explain. And of course the source, they won't give you the source. They say it's classified or personal. I'm sorry, I can't get up, come up with the right word, information. But of course, if this were to go to a court, the judge would see those numbers, even if they are sealed and hidden from the public and us. So, but that doesn't really make much difference, because even after manipulating the numbers, the doctor numbers don't justify the conclusion of the report anyway. So page 5, my comments started in 2009, so my understanding improved and I revised some of my comments since then. In there, I believe it says, if the tourism subsectors are combined, then the others should be combined too. But afterwards, I realized it really doesn't need to, because there is really no tourism travel sector. They just take parts of other sectors that relate to non-business travel and then come up with that number, which is really not a sector. So it's okay the way it is. They need to combine them to come up with one number for the tourism. But what they do wrong in that sentence there, the travel is primary export employer in Olson. There is no export employer in the language of the Montana Code. Everywhere, in all other reports, in all the letters, it says if tourism is the primary employer in the area. And I'm not going to even argue who defines primary how, whether first in line, more than half, whatever. But by any definition, tourism in Polson is not the primary employer in the area. It's only in that column. Now, if you scroll back up to page 4, please, Ed, you can see that 358, the combined tourism items, are less than the local education and the local trade transportation numbers. But more than that, because now we're not talking about isolating tourism to see if it's the primary employment, we need to recombine those numbers, 375 and 159. So these numbers, education government, 393, is way more than the tourism. So if you look at them individually, or if you combine the line, the two columns for the same sector, it's just too many numbers are more than the tourism. It's not number one in line. It's not more than half. It's just not justify the final sentence that says non-business travel. Back up, please. That last sentence on line 4. The non-business travel is the largest employer in this city. Now, it doesn't say in the export sector. It says largest employer in the city, and it's not. It's just simply not. Look at the numbers. Anybody with average intelligence can read that sentence and look at the numbers in the table and say that they don't match. So, okay, so I'm just kind of eyeing my notes to see if I don't skip anything. Okay, so in this first report, and there is a letter, scroll down one more, please, the attachment, the cover letter after the map, yes. I don't know how I came across this, but I think I was told that each report was sent along with a cover letter, so I asked for the cover letter, and I got this. And the first phrase there says, after further analysis. And I thought, oh, that means there was a prior analysis. So at the time, City of Polson wasn't friendly, but the Department of Commerce was very friendly to me. I asked for copies of correspondence, reports. At the time, because now I wasn't sure what existed, what didn't exist, I just said, please send me copies of everything you have because I don't know what to ask for. And so this is how I discovered that there was a prior report. It was a pretty well kept secret from the public. So, and the last sentence there, it says, properly acknowledging what the MCA is requiring, it says data provided in the report indicate that the primary portion of the area's total employment come from non-business travel. Well, it's not true. Primary portion of total employment is not tourism. It's look at the numbers in the report. You can see it. So, these errors, of course, errors can be made, fine, but I was running for city council in 2009, and I'm a computer systems analyst by trade, so I like to analyze things and look at the detail and cross-reference things. So I did some work, and I was, in principle, against the sales tax. But I became much more specifically against this resort tax in Paulson, because Paulson was not a resort area and this tax was going to be an unfair sales tax on the local public. So I wrote a letter to Todd Crossett, who was the city manager back then, quite in detail. It shows that I made efforts to, and I was successful in communicating with the DOC initially. They acknowledged the error. They said, well, let's see what we can do about it. But it was just like a dead end, and they kind of stopped communicating with me because they couldn't do anything about it, and things started getting complicated. So you can, hopefully you read that already, and you can read. A lot of those comments are valid even today as is. Some of them need to be corrected, minor correction, and of course some of them could be improved quite a bit to make the point even stronger today. So I explain all those, and you know, one thing I explained in there is it also in my comments in the second report, the problem with isolating the comparison, comparing the non-business travel to tribal employment, to government and education in the export employment column only, is that you can have 4,000 people working in all kinds of sectors in the local column. And please ask me if you don't understand how these export sectors are derived based on what's called a location quotient. I'd be glad to explain as much as I can. So let's say that there were in that in the Crossett's letter, scroll up a little bit, please, just like a little bit to see those numbers. One more, a little bit more. Yeah, right there. So this column there, employment export, those numbers, you can divide them by 100. And if you had four people total in that column, and two of them worked for tourism, one worked for government, one worked for education, doesn't mean there was only one person for education. There was probably 750 that is the average per capita for Montana. And then Paulson had one more extra, and that's considered export because it's beyond what the area needs, according to the Montana average. So in that case, you could say, well, there are two people in work in excess employment in tourism, one excess in government, one excess in education. Therefore, this city qualifies for resort designation. And that's a logical fallacy that Department of Commerce recognized and acknowledged back then pretty easily. It's simple. Anyway, let's scroll. Anyway, the point is with this letter is that I brought it up to the city's attention, these problems, and Crossett mentioned these problems, my letter to the city council, but then they said, well, it's not the city's role to correct DOC's errors. And then after then, until today, the city's pretending willful ignorance, also called willful blindness, interchangeably in law. I don't like it as much. But you can't pretend that if you have been made aware of the facts, which the city has been made aware of the facts time and again over the years. If one left and a new city manager came, he was made aware of the problems as well. So so let's move on to the current. Scroll down, please. I think we're done with that. Okay, here. So this year I started kind of got involved with this because of all the background I have, all the research I have done. And I tried to help the city pointing out this old problems and suggested that they don't try to just get away with whatever they can get away legally. And instead I said, you know, try to do the right thing. And I gave, you know, I made some suggestions to the EDC at EDC meetings, at city council meetings. You know, they were really acting pretty incompetently, both the EDC and the city council, in how they progress with this process. And they had to redo a couple steps. They couldn't get the motions right. They couldn't get the ballot language right, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I don't want to... I wish that they listened, and not just to me, of course, but to other citizens who tried to contribute and made comment and took time to do this right. But this time, they didn't even do as much as in 2015 when I went to their meeting and suggested that they get the city attorney's or attorney general's opinion whether they need a current analysis because the MCA says current employment. Mark Shrives at the time, city manager, at least contacted the DOC and asked, and a person named Mary Kregel responded. I don't think she was in the legal team or in the management position, but anyway, she said, the report is forever good because there is no process for re-evaluating a designation. And of course, now then we keep going back asking, well, if so, how come Paulson was reevaluated and got a second opinion? And this person also uses, just like Andy Poole, that if travel employment is the primary employment for the area, that sentence is all over the place. Not in the never in the MCA or any other document other than the Paulson second report says tourism needs to be the primary export employment. And also please notice that I'm talking about two different things. One is reevaluating Paulson because MCA says current employment. And then I'm also saying there are errors in the report, regardless of that, that needs to be reviewed, not reevaluate the area, review the report. And I used words also auditing. I used often, I said the report needs to be audited for errors. So those are two different things. And each of them can really prevail just on itself, by itself. Okay, so the EDC and city promised that they would give a yearly estimate revenue, the tourism revenue estimates for Paulson and estimates for resort tax collections for a season of 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, 12 months, and that they were going to give the council the choice to go for 10 years or 20 years or 15 years or year-round or 6 months and all that, which they never did. And their estimate started with $400,000, thinking Polson was similar to Columbia Falls. And then they kept revising it, and it went up all the way to $1,300,000 by the Department of Revenue's estimate. $400,000 was too little, and $1.3 million was too much, because now that would make people notice that, wait a minute, you can't possibly collect $1,300,000 from tourists. Impossible. So, you know, they would realize that the money would come from the local people. I agree that that number was high because the exempt items needed to be subtracted, but maybe not all the way down to 700,000, which kind of probably was picked as a middle of the road reasonable number, wouldn't really alarm too many people, voters. But now let's focus on that pie chart for a minute. This is the pie chart that the EDC and the city used in its slideshow presentation. And okay, so we see the county's tourism revenue is $30,300,000. But neither EDC or the city made an effort to estimate what would be Polson's share of that $30 million. So what is it? Is it up to the individual citizens to figure out for themselves, looking at that chart and say, well, you know, let's toss a number, grab from the air and say Polson's share will be, you know, 40%, 50%, 70%. And city, of course, they promised that number, they never delivered. I have, my estimate is probably 50%, and I have some surveys done by the ITRR, University of Montana, that I used to come up with an estimate. If you're interested, you can ask me later, I will explain. Even 50% is probably too much, because in Lake County, the Bison Range has more national recognition than Polson. The only advantage Polson has is the hotels. The lodging is concentrated in Polson. But people staying in Polson overnight doesn't mean they limit their spending and visit to city limits of Polson. So if I do, as a citizen, try to figure it out for myself, and based on that pie chart, if I say, okay, Polson is 50% of that, approximately $15 million per year, you have to subtract the gas and diesel, 12.5%. You have to subtract the non-luxury exempt items from this revenue because you can't tax them. 10.6% is total lodging. And we know by other statistics that Kotaknak by itself is 25% of all the lodging in Polson. So you subtract that from it. Then you subtract all the tribal businesses who's not going to collect this tax. You're not going to collect it. Then you have to subtract the tribal members. They're going to spend the money. Yes, it's revenue, but you're not going to get the tax. And anyway, so I would say if Paulson would be lucky if they could collect tax on $10 million of that $30 million. Unlikely. But even if they did, that would make, that would add up to $300,000 for Paulson, optimistically. So even with the Paulson's played down numbers of 700,000, the latest estimate, we can see that 400,000 of that 700,000 will come from the local people. And the city is, did not do, in my opinion, a good job at making people aware of that. In fact, personally, I believe they did hide the information. And they, instead of educating, they did kind of advocate. And I doubt that people would vote if they knew that more than half of that 700,000 would come out of their own pocket year round. Anyway, which may not be even, you know, 300 may be optimistic. So let's scroll down. This is a chart that's part of this, the bar chart. It's a page from that report, long title. It shows, it compares 25 counties with 20 million or more tourism revenue in Montana, 56 counties total, only 25 counties have 20 million or more. Notice that Lake County is number 20. So, you know, in a competition, being number 20 out of 25 may not be too bad if it was a race and everybody crossed the finish line within a second of each other. But look at how disproportionate it is. Lake County is 4.5% of Gallatin County, almost exactly 5% of Flathead County. Say it the other way, Flathead County's tourism revenues is 20 times that of Lake County. These 25 counties add up to almost $3.5 billion. And the average for 25 is $137,000 yearly. And even compared to the average of the 25, Lake County, the 30 million is only 22% of the average of 25 counties. And of course you can say, well, maybe the county is not a tourist area, but it's all concentrated in Paulson. Well, it's not. You look at 50% of that, let's say, and you can scroll down to the chart I made, the spreadsheet, to rank the counties also comparing the revenues to the population, and the last three columns is per capita. Lake County is 24th, number 24, just before Valley County, with 1,000 per capita. And let's say Paulson is special within Lake County, and this accounts for 50%. You divide $15 million by 5,000 population, that's $3,000. Less than the entire Lincoln County, it would be number 17. Anyway, I like numbers. I like to understand things. And by looking at these numbers, I think other people can understand that Paulson is not a resort community by any definition. The travel revenue for Paulson is not, it's minuscule. especially if you compare the revenue expected from this tax from tourism alone, okay, $300,000. You look at Paulson's yearly expenditure budget, which is about $13,000. What is that? It's like 2.5% or something. Anyway, Paulson does not rely on tourism. Just because there is more activity in the summer, you know, this is a cold climate area. People hibernate in winter and they come out in summer. Do we have weddings in February? No. All the weddings happen in June. We have barbecues, church picnics. Just because there are more sales of beer and hamburger or whatever, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden Paulson got flooded with tourists. It's just the local people came out of their hibernation. Anyway, so this is my point. And the last three documents are emails showing that I made efforts to fix these problems with the Department of Commerce. They acknowledged the problem, but they said there's nothing to be done because there is no procedure to correct these, to reevaluate or audit the report. And I was suggested that I may take it with the representative. Maybe they could do something about it, if not now, in the future. And I emailed the records the same questions I was asking all along. And of course, Department of Commerce said, well, we can't give you legal advice. I said, fine, don't give me legal advice, but ask the Attorney General's advice whether the Montana Code 7-6-1501 that says current employment requires a current analysis, and the Attorney General's opinion can be made public. And also I asked if there are any ways to correct the errors, and you can ask Attorney General's office opinion on that. Just because the code is not 100% perfect in covering all the possible questions and issues, it doesn't mean it's okay to take advantage of that. That's why there are courts. And you go to ask, you know, Attorney General's opinion would prevent an unnecessary action, maybe. But in the end, you go to court and say, Your Honor, do you think current employment means you should do a current analysis? And whatever the judge decides, fine. We live in the land of law and we will abide by that. But the city cannot knowingly take advantage of an error even after it's been pointed out to it. That's against the law. So Greg Hertz at the, I had a conversation with him. I don't want to quote from him. He can speak for himself if you want, or you can interview him or whatever. He said he talked to the city himself. So you probably know some of the things anyway. He joined the last presentation forum on December 15, and he said, among other things, that DOC has violated the spirit of the law. And he had communications with the legal team of the Department of Commerce, so I'm sure he had a basis for saying these things. He tried to make an exception for the city, saying, well, you followed what you were told and blah, blah, which I don't agree. The city is pretending willful ignorance. It's not going to help. the Department of Commerce, in my opinion, violated not only the spirit of the law, which you can go, if anybody wants, I can email all the legislature minutes when this law was first passed and amended over the years, so you can kind of figure out what the intent was. But in my opinion, the language is there. It's just current employment. So the DOC also violated, at least in 2015, when they told the city that the report from 2008 was still good. That's wrong, in my opinion, for DOC to say. They violated the word of the law that is current employment. And they could have asked their legal team instead of Mary Craigle or Attorney General's opinion on that matter. They did it. Okay, I'm just almost done. Just taking a last look at my notes. Okay, and of course the city, regardless of, you know, what the DOC did and whether they can be forced to make to correct the errors or not, the city also is in the wrong for proceeding this with this initiative, knowing all these facts. And the city's argument, I'm sure it's going to be made again, saying, well, all we are doing is putting it in front of the voters, and we want them to have a voice, and we want them to decide for themselves. That sounds good. If Paulson is indeed a resort area, I may not support the sales tax, but I wouldn't probably oppose it at all. Just get some money from the rich Californians. Why not? But in this case, knowing the facts, it is illegal for the city to take this step and to put this question in front of the voters. What if they vote for it? You know, I mean, that's when the mud is going to hit the fan. Anyway, I think I have done my part, spent days and hours over the years researching this, attending meetings, giving my humble advice and opinion, sharing the data I collected. It's up to you to do whatever you want with this. My agenda item, I believe, says not as worded in the agenda. Okay, the agenda request is, will you be asking for a vote? I check yes. And if yes, what it is. What I'm asking this commission to do based on this agenda item is to vote to repeal the resolution number 2020-019 and to cancel the special election that will be on February 2nd, 2021 and abandon this resort tax initiative before it becomes a bigger legal hassle for the city. Thank you. And I would be glad to give you more data, explain, answer questions, whatever.
All right, thank you. Is there any commission comment? Is there any public comment? And if there is, would you please give your name, address, or ward number? I do not see any public comment. I do not hear it. So I'll move on. This time I would ask, like to ask if there would be a motion to void the previous, let's see, how would I word this? To remove the resort tax measure from the upcoming ballot and cancel the special election.
This is Carol, and I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
This is Patty, I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion from Commissioner Pardini, a second from Commissioner Corrigan-Eknes to remove the resort tax measure from the upcoming ballot. I believe we will start the vote with Commissioner Marcello.
Against.
This is Corrigan-Eknes.
No.
Against.
Against.
Mayor.
Yeah. Did everybody voted?
Well, I did not. This is Carolyn. I did not vote, and I vote against.
Mayor?
Yes.
Oh. I'm sorry, and I apologize for interrupting. But as a point of, just as a point of order, did we ask for public comment on that motion?
I did.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I did.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Any other commissioners need to vote before I do? Did we get everybody? And I vote against. Motion fails. Moving on.